And hello again, everybody. Welcome back to another 3 hours of unique, fascinating, and often provocative information. I'm Jeff Rentz, of course, here with you live 3 hours a night, 6 nights a week on radio stations around the United States and around the world, for that matter, live, of course, on the Internet. Without doubt, over the past 4 or 5 years, Britain's David Icke has established himself as the most controversial and some would say dangerous speaker and author on the planet. David is back with us tonight to update us on his controversial worldwide efforts to wake people up to the great game of ruthless control and manipulation, often referred to as the New World Order. We'll be going live and direct to South Africa first, though, to speak with a most extraordinary man whom David recently met while on tour there. And just wait until you hear what he has to say. Next. We are going to go live right now to South Africa, where it's very early in the morning. And our guest's name is Credo, C-R-E-D-O, Mutwa, M-U-T-W-A. He is one of only two surviving Senussis. That is the highest level of the African shamanistic stream left in Southern Africa. He is the official historian, a very honored man of the Zulu Nation, and at the age of 78 has accumulated vast amounts of knowledge about African history and about the control of this planet over thousands of years by folks that are not human. Credo, are you there? Can you hear me all right?
I'm here, yes.
Well, very honored that you are with us and that you got up early. I thank you. We have a large audience and very anxious to speak with you. Let me tell you and all of our listeners that David Icke is not available at the number we have for him. This will not be the first time that it has been difficult to try and get connected with David for programs. And I think those of you who are familiar with David's work understand how these things do seem to happen to David Icke in radio programs. But we are fortunate enough to get Credo on early. And Credo, let me ask you if I might, you have lived probably many lives in your 78 years. Your knowledge of history of your people and your country is extraordinary. You are a very honored man, a controversial man in South Africa. How was it that you came to be in possession of such knowledge of extraordinary nature, Credo?
There are things that we African shamans know, which have never been told to the world. And why? Because nobody has ever bothered to talk to us Africans about many things that are happening in the world and have happened.
Is it nobody? I'm sorry, is it just a question of you and the Zulu Nation and shamans in particular being ignored, or is it an issue of this knowledge being secret and held in confidence?
First of all, sir, when you are entrusted with this knowledge, you have got to swear a terrible oath never to reveal it to people who are not initiated. Also, there is a very wrong perception amongst white writers throughout the Western world that we black people know nothing, that we are just a lot of savages who have got nothing to contribute to the sum total of human knowledge. Many writers have written a lot about the Mayas, the Aztecs, and others, men like Mr. Van Daniken, Eric Van Daniken, and all these writers have ignored Africa.
Well, we are not ignoring Africa on this program, nor is David Icke. Did you meet David just by chance in Africa? How did you meet David down there, Credo?
I met Mr. David Icke about, I think, 2 years ago when he suddenly arrived at my home here in Johannesburg. At first, I thought he was just one of the many, many overseas visitors who come to see me for one reason or another. And then he started talking, and I was at first reluctant to pour my soul out to him, but I was startled that this white man knew things that I also know. And then he went away, sir, and then he came back again this year, and we had a much, much longer talk, which has resulted in you and I being in contact with each other.
Well, again, I'm very honored. I want to let you know we have now figured out how to get in touch with David. He is going to be on with us in just a very few minutes, and he'll be joining us after the first commercial break, which is coming up in about 6 minutes. When you sat down and talked with David Icke and he began to say things to you that you were surprised to hear, what, Credo, were some of those initial things that really made you sit up and take note of this white man who was talking to you?
First of all, sir, over the last 10 years or so, I have been very, very worried about things that are going on in Africa. The wars, the AIDS disease, and so on. And then when Mr. Icke and I started talking, I said to myself, I must trust this white man, and I must share with him what I know, because the Sanusis of South Africa have known for many generations that we have got what are called the elder brothers, a race of alien creatures about 7 feet tall, a race which has played a very sinister part, not only in our tribal legends, but also directly in our history. I was worried that things are coming to a head on earth and that I must share this knowledge with someone, and I felt Mr. Icke is such a man.
Have you, Credo, sought to pass your vast knowledge on to a fellow Zulu or African?
I have tried, sir. First, I tried to pass knowledge on to my firstborn son, but he was killed very badly by political activists in Soweto in 1986. Then I tried to train several people, but there are many things about this ancient knowledge, sir, which are so frightening, so strange, and so complex that ordinary people cannot grasp this thing today. In olden days they could, but today, because they are confused by Christianity and Western education, they cannot grasp the enormity of these things and others that we have to pass on. At this moment, sir, I am struggling to find someone whom I can entrust this knowledge to before I pass away.
We will be happy to hear some of that tonight. You will be sharing that knowledge, Credo, with people all around the world as our program is heard worldwide on the Internet and all around the United States. David Icke will be joining us in just a few minutes as well. Does the elder brother in your history have anything to do with the Dogons and their knowledge of the stars?
Let me tell you, sir. The Dogoni people of West Africa were very fortunate in that they were studied by open-minded white men. What the Dogon knows is not particular to the Dogon. My people, the Zulus, know even more than the Dogon do. There are even the Pygmies of Zaire, and the Bushmen people of the Kalahari Desert, and some of the Maasai people, the Samburu in northeast Kenya, and many, many other tribes, the Bambara, and even the unfortunate people of the country called Rwanda.
Yes.
They know these things much more than the Dogons do. But we have never been spoken to, and we have been totally ignored. And yet I feel, sir, that unless we share this knowledge with fellow human beings throughout the world, our planet is in danger. And as we talk, I hope to share with your listeners as much as I can briefly share within the time allotted.
We shall do that, Credo, and I want you to hold on now. We have to take about a 3-minute timeout to honor our sponsors who make this program possible. Your message will go out, my friend, to a lot of people who will be able to make their decision on what you tell them tonight in terms of your history and the knowledge that you have. So stand by, everybody. We'll pause and be right back with David Icke and Credo Mutwa live in South Africa.
We live in one of the greatest countries in the world and pride ourselves on our Constitution, which guarantees equal justice under law. Yet according to Derek C. Buck, former president of Harvard University, there is far too much law for those who can afford it, and far too little.
You lost money in a mutual fund?
Sorry to hear that, Dave.
For a reason. You know how that goes.
Honestly, I mean, it's...
The program, the diet works 3 times faster than starvation. One lady written up in the Journal of Medicine actually lost 256 pounds in a matter of months.
To order the catabolic diet for only $19.95, call 1-800-292-2060 to finally lose those unwanted pounds. Call 1-800-292-2060.
Okay, welcome back, and live on the phone with us to start the program and to carry on with us is Credo Mutwa, who, as I said, for those of you who may have just joined us, at the age of 78, is the official historian of the great Zulu nation. He is one of only two surviving Sanusis. That is the highest level of the African shamanistic stream. He has been persecuted. He has been vilified. His son was murdered. His house was burned down. Because of the extraordinary knowledge that he has and his efforts to share that knowledge. David Icke came across Credo 2 years ago, as you heard Credo tell us, and they struck up a friendship and have been exchanging information since, and that is extraordinary information, and that it is utterly a template of both have the same basic issues to deal with. David Icke is on the phone with us now. David, can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can, Jeff. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good, yeah. Good. Well, it's always a tricky thing getting hold of you for whatever reason. You know how that goes.
Honestly, I mean, it's every time, but...
It is. But you're here, and Credo is on the line. He has graciously given us a little bit of background, told us why he has not been able to pass the material on yet to an African. He is still looking, and told us about his meeting with you and how he couldn't believe a white man was sitting there telling him much the same as he knew and has known for generations.
The extraordinary thing was that I was sitting there thinking the same in the reverse direction. And I think what the main point here is that this whole apparently bizarre, my goodness me, from the general perspective of life, utterly bizarre story of reptilian bloodlines and reptilian genetic streams running the planet for thousands of years and still being in the positions of banking political power today, etc., the Illuminati being the reptilian bloodlines. It is utterly bizarre, but to come across that in my own research in, 25 countries now in the last 3 years, and then to meet someone like Credo with his just astonishing library of knowledge of African history and African life and ancient and modern, and for him to be telling me from his perspective and from his the information that he's received through the various initiations in the shamanistic streams that he's been involved in,
yes,
for him to tell me the same story that I've uncovered around the world in great detail too, is just extraordinary. And I must say this, that over the last few months, funnily enough, since I introduced the reptilian aspect to this story, the attempts to stop me speaking and to disrupt my work have been increased by several fold.
You think just the opposite would be the case. I mean, here's a man talking about lizards running the planet, and you'd think that they'd laugh because you would be laughed at by people, but on the contrary.
Well, this is the point, Jeff, that you make. A lot of conspiracy researchers, I was going to say there, and other researchers have also turned their fire on me. People like Nexus magazine have ridiculed the whole idea of reptilians being involved in any of this. But as you quite rightly point out, I've been researching this for a long time. And I was at least getting very, very close to the structure of how it's done and the agenda and the methods, etc. And you would have thought that if this reptilian stuff is such nonsensical stuff, then these people would have kind of called a party and said, well, there's another one we don't have to worry about because look, he made himself a right idiot.
Exactly, yeah.
Instead of that, the whole opposition has increased. And The more I travel, the more information pick up. And this is real, and we've got to look at this because this is no fantasy, this reptilian thing.
Well, again, for those of you listening, suspend judgment, hear it out, and let the data sit and percolate. You'll make the decisions. That's what this program is all about. The odd part of it is, and Credo is on the line holding on, and we'll get right back to him, but you are now, among other things, because of your research and your pronouncements in public, you've been branded with that age-old tar and feather job of being an anti-Semite. I don't get the connection, but they're coming out of the woodwork to try to silence David Icke.
Yeah, I think this is something that has been thrown at many researchers. See, all these organizations like the Anti-Defamation League and B'nai B'rith and all these different organizations, they're compartmentalized pyramids. And down the bottom of the pyramid, there are people who genuinely are seeking to protect the interests of Jewish people. But at the top of these pyramids, these are used to discredit people who are getting too close to the truth. And it's interesting that you can mention 100 people and 5 to 10 of them might claim to be Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And you get called anti-Jewish by these organizations. But you don't get called anti-British or anti-American or anti-this or anti-that when you're mentioning 90 that are not Jewish. And I think it's very important, Jeff, that we start to see the shades of gray in this, that Jewish people start to see shades of gray in this. I'll tell you an interesting story that relates to this that I picked up in South Africa.
About a minute to the break.
Okay, well, very quickly. I was invited to meet the apartheid president of South Africa, P.W. Botha. He was president during the 1980s.
Yeah, pick.
And, I'd met Nelson Mandela's former wife, too, mm-hmm. Winnie Mandela, on the same trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to this guy. I didn't expect to like him, and I didn't very much, to be honest. But he told me some interesting things. First of all, I was staggered that he was mentioning the Kissingers and the Carringtons and these people who had manipulated South Africa, but genuinely, it seemed to me, did not understand that the manipulation of South Africa was just part of a wider picture of global manipulation by the same people. But what he told me was that he had an interesting meeting with the Rothschilds. Now, when you mention the Rothschilds, they're always anti-Jewish, look. Well, let's look at this. He had a meeting with the English Rothschilds, who asked to meet him in the 1980s. 1980s, remember this.
Mm-hmm.
And he said at that meeting, he was told by the English Rothschilds that there was wealth in Swiss bank accounts that used to belong to German Jews, mm-hmm. but that was available for investment in South Africa if they could agree an interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this wealth that's come to light in the Swiss bank accounts in the last few years, the Rothschilds, who claim to be Jewish, have actually been investing this and making a fortune, no doubt, out of it since the war. So it's shades of gray here, and I think it's very important that we all stop hurling abuse at each other and realize we're all being manipulated, and while we fight and conflict like this, will go on being divided and ruled.
That's the ultimate message you're trying to put out there. And speaking of grays, shades of gray, we have much to talk about with Credo Mutwa live from South Africa and David Icke live from here in the United States. Be right back.
In emergency situations, independence is the key to survival. The goal is to have what your family needs to get by until the emergency has passed. And it doesn't really matter whether that emergency is an earthquake, a flood, a tornado, or a period of unemployment. Hungry people are vulnerable. Food is basic.
Plus, no market exposure.
That's what I'm looking for.
My portfolio will allow me to retire on time and sleep at night in the meantime.
Perfect. How do I get that kind of attention to my portfolio?
Hey, all you do is just call 1-800-810-4456 and ask for a free copy of The Billionaire's Simple Secret.
Wait a sec. Let me write that down.
1-800-810-4456.
1-800-810-4456. Thanks, pal. You just saved my retirement.
Hey, what are friends for?
Do you want your children to learn and use good manners? Teach them how with It's Just Good Manners, an award-winning videotape available only in this special offer. Hi, I'm Jennifer DeVore, a parent and etiquette teacher. When I showed my class It's Just Good Manners, they loved it, and it worked. They learned to use good table manners, telephone etiquette, how to write thank you notes, make good introductions, show respect for others, and so much more. It answers many of the questions about manners your elementary age child needs to know. It's Just Good Manners is so entertaining, kids will watch it again and again. Parenting Magazine, USA Today, even the American Library Association agree. This is a great way for your child to learn good manners. Here's how to order.
Parents and grandparents, order It's Just Good Manners now by dialing 1-800-255-7100. Pay just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Have your credit card ready and dial 1-800-255-7100.
All right, welcome back. An extraordinary program tonight. Two absolutely unique guests. David Icke, of course, has been with us for several years. In fact, I was honored to be the first person to have David on National American Radio. He has made quite a name for himself and has awakened a lot of people to the fact that things are not as they seem. Credo Mutwa is live on the telephone from South Africa, where it's very early in the morning there. As he eloquently stated to us, his people's great knowledge of their antiquity, which goes back thousands and thousands of years, has been unknown to the rest of the world because essentially white society, developed society, didn't consider it worth exploring. He is here to share that with us tonight. We're going to hear more from Credo right now. Credo, when you began first learning of your people's ancient past, first of all, were you shocked and what were you told? What were the stories that first came your way?
It started when I was a young boy. And I had my grandfather, the father of my mother, and the father of my father. Now, these old men used to tell me things which were the exact opposite of what we were being taught in the mission schools.
Mm-hmm.
The mission school used to teach us that our people were a stupid nation, a nation without God, a nation which was just savage and full of war, a lazy people, a people without any knowledge. But the father of my father taught me that black people had knowledge of stars. He taught me that my people could use heaps of sand to calculate the height of a tree or a mountain and even to tell when the next solar eclipse or the lunar eclipse would happen.
I see.
I was surprised. Why mm-hmm. were the mission school teachers mm-hmm. teaching us lies at school while the old men in our villages mm-hmm. were teaching us the truth? That was when it started.
Yes.
And when I became a shaman, more and more things were revealed to me, which at first I refused to believe
mm-hmm.
because I had been brought up as a Christian. But as I grew older and went into more and more initiations, a strange thing was revealed to me, which shocked me and made me look at Africa and the colonizers of Africa with new eyes. I began to see that we were lied to all along
mm-hmm.
and that we had been denied knowledge of our people's real past. For example, sir, in schools we were taught about a man called Christopher Columbus who went to America and who discovered America, but our tribal stories throughout South Africa,
mm-hmm.
throughout West Africa, and Central Africa talked about great black heroes who went to the land of the dying of the sun in a land with mountains which were made by people to look for wisdom. For example, there is an African hero called Shango who is said to have sailed in a boat of grass to the land of the dying of the sun. And this is confirmed by archaeology in Central and South America that Africans once went to America long, long before the man called Columbus was born.
Yes. Now, as you look back on the mission school's credo, quite clearly you see it as a mass effort to eradicate your people's history, correct?
Yes, sir. Our history was deliberately destroyed. We were denied true knowledge of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And as I grew up into an old man, which I now am, I began to see that this denial of our history, this denial of the greatness of the black man, was a deliberate, cold-blooded attempt to make it easy to enslave the black people, which was successfully done.
David Icke, it's an old theme, and Africa was one of the most graphic examples of it.
Yeah, and you can find it all over the world, and it's fascinating to see how a few people can actually take over a whole continent. If they, A, deny them knowledge of where they've come from, therefore knowledge of where they are, they deny them an understanding of the true greatness of their own spirit through religion and stuff like that, and they divide and rule the people. And on a couple of videos I've done with Credo, he talks very eloquently about the way this divide and rule was done. And one of the key people involved was someone who will be mentioned on this show a few times, Cecil Rhodes, the head of the Round Table, who was a major Illuminati figure mm-hmm. in the last century, particularly mm-hmm. in Africa and Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, which is obviously named after him, Rhodesia, and how he got tribal peoples to fight each other. Mm-hmm. Not only that, he got some of the white people, known as the Boers, with the Dutch origin, to attack some of these tribes. And then he went to the tribes and said, well, look, the only way you're going to protect yourselves is to come under the protection of Queen Victoria and the great British Empire. And so these three techniques destroy the history, stop people seeing where they are, deny and suppress the knowledge of the true greatness of the human spirit and the fact that we are infinity having an experience, and thirdly, divide and rule the people. And wherever you go, you play those three cards, a few people can take
it's
over
true.
The world.
And then, of course, as we approach our break, they always, after dividing and conquering, they set up schools because the children are the key. They're always one or two generations ahead, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, education. I mean, Gandhi was once asked what he thought of Western civilization, and he said it would be a very good idea. I think having education would be a very, very good idea. It's about time we had some.
Indeed.
One very interesting thing that Credo told me, by the way, is that dealing with the Christian thing, is that strange beings, unexplainable beings, arrived in the decades in Africa before the whites arrived, and they carried with them the symbols of Christianity. And when the whites arrived from Europe and the Christian missionaries, a lot of people in Africa connected the Christian missionaries with these strange god beings that had started to appear in the decades before this arrived, because they were carrying, the Christian missionaries, the same symbols that these strange, unexplainable beings, I think they called them the beasts of the terrible blanket, had arrived. And interestingly, the same similar stories are told in America and in Australia about beings arriving before the whites arrived to prepare the people for this coming invasion.
Fascinating. All right, we'll pause and continue after these few words from our sponsors. Don't forget the website at www.sightings.com.
For years, Alice and Carrie Richardson feared that a collection agency would force them to pay a $10,000 debt their son owed. No matter how much the couple protested, the agency kept harassing them. Alice and her husband pushed it all aside because they couldn't afford an attorney. But all that changed when the Richardsons signed up with a legal service.
Live on the line.
7925.
According to FBI statistics, every 3 seconds, a property crime is committed. Every 3 seconds. Now here's a great statistic. A home protected by an ADT security system is 15 times less likely to be the target of a break-in than a home without one. So why take chances? Call America's number one home security company and discover why more than 2 million homes and businesses trust ADT. Right now, for as little as $99, you can have an ADT system installed in your home. Call now and take advantage of this special offer. 50% off any one additional option up to a $75 value. Be smart. Be safe. Protect your home and family. Call ADT.
Call 1-800-927-9020. That's 1-800-927-9020.
36-month monitoring agreement required at $25.99 a month. One-time activation fee may be required. Certain other requirements, restrictions, and fees may apply.
Call 1-800-927-9020. That's 1-800-927-9020.
Okay, and we're back. Very special and very provocative program for you to consider tonight. Mr. David Icke is on the line. Our friend, who is in the States at the moment, he is worldwide as much as he is anywhere. And Credo Mutwa, who is live on the line very early in the morning from South Africa, 78 years old, a man who has seen things in his nearly 80 years that are almost impossible to describe. He is, as I said, the official historian of his Zulu nation. He has accumulated vast amounts of knowledge about African history, history that has been screened out and, well, almost completely obliterated by a developed and westernized society. Credo, as you passed through initiation after initiation and were given over the years more and more ancient knowledge of your peoples and your civilization, how was the issue of extraterrestrials, or as you've referred to them, your elder brothers, presented to you?
Sir, first of all, can I make a correction here? We African people, at least here in Southern Africa, we the initiates of Antu, we do not believe that the creatures which rule us and which abduct us are extraterrestrials. We believe that they are children of the serpent who were created long before we human beings were created, and that they made God angry by practicing very bad magic. And some of them tried to fight against God, and God threw them away from this earth, and they ran away to certain stars in the sky. Stars such as the star which we call Iso Lenkanyamba, the eye of the dragon. Funnily enough, that the star which we call Iso Lenkanyamba is in the same constellation that white people call the Draco. I don't know why this is so. Some of these beings ran away and found homes in the Muhambi constellation, the constellation of the walking giant, which the white people, they call it Orion. They ran away from our earth because they had done rubbish to God's creation, and God kicked them out. And when God had created us, these rascals came back and they started messing about with us. And the first thing that they are said to have done, say, they gave us fire. They gave us metals. And they put feelings in our hearts which made us insecure, jealous, power-hungry, and very, very destructive of the Mother Earth, which is our mother.
They put ego in human beings, is what you're saying?
Yes, they make human beings to... First, it is said that when they returned to our Earth, They found us living in a beautiful earth. They found us without any language. We were incapable of speech. And they found us living in a land where we could not see the stars in the sky because there was always a heavy mist which covered the sun and the moon and the stars. So our minds were looking at the earth, and we thought that the earth was our heaven. And even...
Okay, and we're back. Very special and very provocative program for you to consider tonight. Mr. David Icke is on the line. Our friend who is in the States at the moment, he is worldwide as much as he is anywhere. And Credo Mutwa, who is live on the line very early in the morning from South Africa, 78 years old, a man who has seen things in his nearly 80 years that are almost impossible to describe. He is, as I said, the official historian of his Zulu nation. He has accumulated vast amounts of knowledge about African history, history that has been screened out and, well, almost completely obliterated by a developed and westernized society. Credo, as you passed through initiation after initiation and were given over the years more and more ancient knowledge of your peoples and your civilization, how was the issue of extraterrestrials, or as you've referred to them, your elder brothers, presented to you?
Sir, first of all, can I make a correction here? We African people, at least here in Southern Africa, we the initiates of Antu, we do not believe that the creatures which rule us and which abduct us are extraterrestrials. We believe that they are children of the serpent who were created long before we human beings were created, and that they made God angry by practicing very bad magic. And some of them tried to fight against God, and God threw them away from this earth, and they ran away to certain stars in the sky. Stars such as the star which we call Iso Denka Nyamba, the eye of the dragon. Funnily enough, that the star which we call Iso Denka Nyamba is in the same constellation that white people call the Draco. I don't know why this is so.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these beings ran away and found homes in the Muhambi constellation, the constellation of the walking giant, which the white people, they call it Orion.
Mm-hmm.
They ran away from our earth because they had done rubbish to God's creation, and God kicked them out. And when God had created us, these rascals came back and they started messing about with us. And the first thing that they are said to have done, say, they gave us fire. They gave us metals. And they put feelings in our hearts which made us insecure, jealous, power-hungry, and very, very destructive of the Mother Earth, which is our mother.
They put ego in human beings, is what you're saying?
Yes, they made human beings to... First, it is said that when they returned to our Earth, They found us living in a beautiful earth. They found us without any language. We were incapable of speech. And they found us living in a land where we could not see the stars in the sky because there was always a heavy mist which covered the sun and the moon and the stars.
Mm.
So our minds were looking at the earth, and we thought that the earth was our heaven. And even today, there are still many African tribes, even amongst my people, the Zulus, who believe that heaven is under the earth and that the dead people are immortal under the earth, while there is also a later belief that the dead people go into the sky. It is said that these elder brothers, they removed the mist from the heavens so that we were able to see the stars, we were able to see the moon, we were able to see the sun, and we started longing to go up there, and we ignored the earth, we destroyed the earth in trying to get up there. And another thing, it is said that these elder brothers of ours found us talking with each other through telepath. We were very telepath,
okay,
powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gave us language, but the language destroyed most of our telepathic powers, most of our powers of being able to dream about the future and the past. Also, the language divided us and made us very quarrelsome amongst ourselves on the basis of language. In other words, these elder brothers, the jealous ones, the whisperers of the dark law, they turned us against God by taking away our spiritual powers from us. Now, when you undergo high initiations, which involves even walking on fire, you are told these things, that you must have, you must never allow the whisperers of the dark law to trap you with pride, to trap you with what you said there was ego, to trap you with ambition, because ambition was instilled into us in order to make us to consume the earth and so to destroy it.
Well, they've done a very good job, haven't they?
This is what causes my heart to bleed, sir. This is why I had to trust Mr. David Icke and to come close to him, because Africa is dying.
Yes.
Our people are being destroyed. And whether we believe this or not, a system of genocide, cold-blooded and deliberate and utterly unhuman, is being practiced in Africa everywhere. And what startles me and shakes my spirit is this. I used to travel through Africa before the Second World War, when I was quite young.
Mm-hmm.
And I traveled through Africa during the Second World War. Now, many of the tribes which I learned great knowledge from have been wiped out. They no longer exist anymore.
They're gone.
Whole community, mm-hmm. They are gone, sir. Gone, finish. And this pattern is happening all over Africa. In the Sudan, in Uganda, in Kenya, there are tribes, and Angola, there are tribes which are no longer there anymore. They have been deliberately wiped out. And I ask myself, is there no one who pities Africa? Is there no one who sees what is being done to my people? Our leaders, our politicians seem to be criminally blind to what is going on in Africa. In Africa, sir, if you draw a map of Africa before you, you will find that all those countries where long civil wars are being waged are those countries which, if they were left to themselves, would feed Africa. The Sudan, Angola, Mozambique,
mm-hmm.
These countries were once some of the biggest food producers in Africa. They fed the Portuguese Empire and the British Empire. Uganda was once the breadbasket of Africa. But whole populations have been wiped out. And if anyone thinks that I, a shaman of my people, can stand by and watch this crime, then they are mistaken. Because Africa is being killed. I can tell you more, but I don't want to get out of here.
Hold on. David, the rape and slaughter in Africa is unprecedented. We've done many programs about HIV, where it came from. Accidental or otherwise, it was certainly introduced into the African population. And over there now, the statistics are withering to contemplate about how many people are dying. Africa is imploding.
Africa is a phenomenal continent. That's the point. It's very, very important to the Illuminati. I mean, the British headed there, and for the British, really Illuminati in terms of the powers controlling that invasion. Indeed, the European expansion in general into Africa was Illuminati inspired, and the timescale was brought about by them. And you can follow the different streams of invasions of people from Europe into Africa.
Mm-hmm.
As you follow the different streams, you can actually show that from the first arrival of the European peoples in the Cape, maybe even earlier that, but officially in the Cape, right to the present day, and the ruling families that control that continent, they are connected all the way through. It's an unbroken stream, just the personnel have changed. And when you go to Africa, the idea that continent cannot feed itself is utterly, utterly ludicrous. And indeed, Africa is just a wonderful example that tells the story of the world in terms of the manipulation. There is no reason for one single person, one single child in that continent to be hungry. No way. No need. But if you had abundance and people in Africa were left to rule themselves and to live their own lives, you would have abundance. Abundance equals choice. Choice equals freedom. So what we have all around the world, and Africa is a fantastic example, is the creation of dependency through scarcity. So if you start wars, you destroy the food-growing land. If you fill the food-growing land with transnational corporations growing for the Western markets, etc., you create scarcity. Scarcity equals dependency. Dependency equals control. And that's what's going on.
Indeed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll pause, take our top of the hour break, come right back in about 6 or 7 minutes. with Mr. Credo Mutwa and David Icke. See you then. All right, we are live on the phone to Credo Mutwa in South Africa and David Icke here in the States, who is, as always, at one point or another on one of his worldwide tours. David, you had some issues in Canada I want to touch on very briefly, then get back to our story here about our reptilian overlords, our elder brothers, as Credo calls them, as his people do. Tell us what happened in Canada just briefly. First of all, there were a lot of people expressing concern for your physical well-being.
Well, it was a build-up, really. Over about 4 weeks before I arrived, the two people who were putting the events on, they were tremendous, two women. They stuck with it when almost everyone else would have caved in. And they wouldn't cave in. And as a result of that, when I arrived at Ottawa Airport, I got off the plane, and I was the last off the plane from at the back of the immigration queue. And suddenly I looked up, and there's this uniformed lady standing next to me, looking at me like a shark that's just found lunch, you know. And so I thought, all right, what's all that about? I made a bit of a joke with her, and then saw her go back and say to another immigration official behind the kind of booths, that's him. So I thought, well, it's going to be an interesting night. And then I went to...
She didn't ask you to autograph one of your books either.
No, she didn't, no. No, it wasn't one of them. No, actually, she said it so openly. I thought her application for a plainclothes job, surveillance job, ought to be reconsidered. And it was quite funny, really. When I got to the booth, handed my passport and stuff, and I'm having a joke with the guy, and everything's kind of fine. And then he punched my name up on his computer, and the whole energy changed, and he just said to me, immigration. And I saw the screen a little bit later when I was left in an office, which I was for a long time. And it just said my name, and then it said October the 1st, and in big capital letters, watch for. And over the next goodness knows how many hours, I got out of the place about 2 a.m. in the morning. They'd looked through every piece of clothing, and the guy was wearing rubber gloves. He must have known about my socks. And he read every piece of material. And being a researcher, I carry so much material around, which I'm reading all the time. And he read all that stuff and could find absolutely nothing to back up this idea that I'm anti anything in terms of racial things. It's a great thing if you want to throw mud at someone, because then you know you get the media and people just believe it. But interestingly, it got as far as the fact that the head of the hate unit was actually in the audience when I spoke in Toronto, and said to one of the organizers, I enjoyed the talk, which was quite ironic, really, and of course found nothing. But when I walked off the stage at Toronto, I walked about a few strides behind the curtain, and there were some immigration police saying that if I didn't report to immigration the next morning, they would arrest me and all this stuff. And basically, they were trying to prevent me from talking by using, first of all, he's anti-Semitic, which they couldn't hang anything on because it's just nonsensical. Mm-hmm. When that failed, they turned on the immigration law and can you speak without the right pieces of paper and all this stuff. But in the end, all three events went ahead thanks to phenomenal support from people in Canada. I mean, it was just incredible, the support there. And, you know, when you're getting closer and closer to uncovering this stuff, and as I say, this has really been upped against me since the reptilian thing was introduced in the story, which Credo knows enormous amounts about, you're going to draw in people who are going to try to stop you. I mean, it's just part of it, and no one said it would be easy, but I'm just getting on with it. I don't even think about anyone possibly stopping this. There's an energy emerging on the planet now, a new vibration, literally, that's waking people up and opening people's eyes. And that's an energy which you challenge at your peril, really. And I think myself that it's easy to look at the world as it is and get caught in the idea that it's hopeless. But you can look at something in its dying state, and it can seem chaotic, it can seem hopeless. But actually what you're looking at is the death throes of an old system. And I'm absolutely convinced that we're in the death throes in an old system, and this system's coming down. It's coming down in the next few years, and we're going to have some bumpy years while it happens. But I'm incredibly optimistic about the future, not least that people like Credo with this enormous knowledge are now coming out, and the pieces in the puzzle are being linked and confirmed. Knowing what you're dealing with is halfway to dealing with it. Not knowing what you're dealing with, it can be very difficult because everything's kind of not there. You can't touch it, you can't taste it, you can't see it. How do you deal with it? Mm-hmm. What's happening now is the veil's lifting, and bizarre as the story may be, it's becoming increasingly obvious that what has actually happened is that this reptilian group, which Credo calls the Chitahuri, came here, and I think it's fascinating what he says about the fact that they actually were here once and then went away and have come back. This would explain a lot of things about the compatibility between them and the human race in many ways. And they interbred with humanity, creating hybrid bloodlines. And when you follow the genealogy, and I'm really starting to compile some of this genealogy now of the ruling families of the world, and they go back to the ancient royal kings and rulers of the ancient Near and Middle East, great numbers of them do. And that's what the Sumerian tablets and other ancient accounts say, the crossbreeds between the gods and humanity, that they were the positions they held, the royal ruling power of that area of the world. And now the genealogy is starting to show that the people in control of the world today, in banking, in politics, and et cetera, all these institutions of power, actually go back to that same group of bloodlines. Mm-hmm. And in effect, the bloodlines of the reptilians are running the planet, and they're the ones that end up in the positions of power. And what's fascinating about what Credo's saying is he was telling me when I was in with him a few weeks ago that actually the royal lines of Black Africa fall into this same story.
They're all in
of
it.
Claiming descendants from these gods. Yeah.
They're all in it. Wow, fascinating. Credo, tell us what these reptilians or elder brothers look like, and do they manifest themselves today? Do some people see them today in your world?
Yes, sir, they do. But because we human beings have got a very deadly weakness in us, we are conditioned only to see certain things and not to see others,
mm-hmm.
to see certain shapes and not to see others. And many people seeing something like a reptile man will not be able to think to realize what they are seeing. Some of them become so rejecting of what they see that they don't see it at all. And this, you can also find this thing amongst animals. There are animals which are capable of seeing certain shapes, but not others. We are like that. Now, these creatures, we are told, stand about 6 feet or 7 feet high.
Yeah.
They are very slender in appearance, and their arms and legs are flexible. Where our arms have got knees, their arms and legs move, they seem to have no joints, but they seem to be made entirely of flexible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, sir, they have got scaly skin, and they have got two eyes or three eyes. The warrior, they go into classes. The warrior class has got two eyes only, which are very, very terrible, like those of a python, which is why we call them Ntwari, Moon Ntwari, that is human being python. And the higher class have got three eyes, one in the center of their foreheads. The big class have got horns on their heads, yes. Or horn-like protuberances, of which there are two, one above on either side of the head. And the warrior class have got a number of short, upward-turning horn-like things on their heads. Now, what I find amazing, sir, is this, that in some films which have been made nowadays, there is a film about, a film called Star Wars, the recent one.
Yes, yes.
In that Star Wars film, sir, there is, amongst its characters, there is a Chitauri exactly. He is called Maul, Darth Maul. And that is exactly how a warrior Chitauri looks like.
Wow.
With a large head, very cold eyes,
mm-hmm.
and small horns forming like a crown all around his head. And African wood covers locked up in museums all over the world are carvings from Africa which show human-like creatures with horns all around their heads.
Fascinating, fascinating. We'll pause and come right back and carry on with Credo Mutwa and David Icke in just a couple minutes. And back with Credo. Credo, when you saw the reptilian in the Star Wars film, what went through your mind? Did you view it as an intent to make people familiar with this being or some incredible accident? How did you see it?
You know, sir, I do not understand the traditions of the white people, unfortunately. But I was amazed. This filmmaker, how did he come to know about such a creature?
Mm-hmm.
Because exactly as Darth Maul is portrayed in the film, that when my now late wife saw a magazine article on this film,
mm-hmm.
she pointed out, this is a Chitauri. This is one of our elder brothers. I had not noticed it because I don't read much. But when I looked, I was really startled.
Hmm.
Right down to the color, the striped red and black, I asked myself, where do these film producers see these creatures? It can't be their imagination.
You know, today, Credo, I was in a major American department store, and they have displays in most stores now, and many of them, 6 and 7 feet tall of this particular character in the Star Wars film, this Darth Maul. He is everywhere.
Oh.
You see his image all over the place.
But please, one may sound crazy when one asks this question, which I'm going to ask you, sir. Are we being prepared for something? Are we being prepared for a major event where such creatures will be seen?
It would certainly seem to be a possibility. Let me leave you with that. The chances of this being coincidence are very, very small, in my opinion. Somebody seems to know something, and when you see the image everywhere, you see it on toys, you see it on cardboard life-size cutouts in department stores, it's all over the place. And if it's an accident, I'd like to know the odds on that, David Icke.
Yeah, I think something's definitely being prepared in this way. One of the parts of the biggest secret, I list all the reptilian imagery that's in front of our faces, not least in children's cartoons and what have you. And the more that I've traveled around the world, and it's like, you know, what Credo was talking about earlier, it's the blind spot. You know, people, professors of science who deny any other form of existence except the physical, are very, very unlikely to see spirits and ghosts and stuff because their mind's blocked from them. And it's that same thing that someone says to you, have you seen that new car that's going around? Look, there's one there. And you haven't seen it, haven't noticed it before. But once you've seen it, suddenly you start seeing them all over the place, these new cars, but you haven't noticed them before.
We've seen that so many times over the years, people on this program, eyewitnesses to UFO events, flying saucers, whatever you want to call them, will be in a crowd of people, and they'll say, My friend and I saw it, but no one else seemed to notice, and they can't understand it. Yeah.
What has happened to people, including myself, as this reptilian thing is coming into my research, is that suddenly you start to notice the reptilian imagery all around us. I mean, one of the great epicenters of the Illuminati is the City of London, the financial district, and the place running on from there called Temple Bar, which is the center of the global legal profession. And, of course, money and law are the two great sources of human control, and they're right next to each other in the City of London. And you go around those two places, and the reptilian imagery is unbelievable. I mean, you have to go past flying reptiles on both sides of the road when you enter the City of London. The actual coat of arms of the City of London Financial District is two flying reptiles. You start looking at the coats of arms of some of these great aristocratic families that come from these reptilian crossbreed bloodlines. And again, the flying reptiles all over the place. And Credo is extremely knowledgeable on the reptilian symbolism in ancient cultures. And one of the fascinating things he told me, which explains so much, is that this Chitahuri, this reptilian group, whatever its origin, told the people right from the start, if you depict us as we really look, then it's instant death. And as he said, what happened as a result of that is that they started to depict the gods symbolically, not literally. So then you have, of course, right across the ancient world, wherever you go, the imagery of serpent gods, of snake gods, of scale imagery, even of fish gods, of course, with the scales and stuff. And this is where all this endless imagery comes from, trying to symbolize these beings without literally doing it because of the consequences they understood they would get.
All right. Coming up on the next break, getting a lot of interesting email. I won't be able to answer it, of course, but Credo, will you be able to stay on with us for a little while longer on the program?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, my friend. Hold on. We have to pause. And David, you mentioned videos. I'd like you to get ready to tell us about that. I assume they'll be available to all of us soon, if they're not now.
Yeah, they're just available, actually. They were recorded literally just a short number of weeks ago in South Africa with Credo, and they're stunning because of what he reveals in them.
Outstanding. For all of you David Icke fans, stay tuned. Get paper and pencil ready. We're going to tell you how to avail yourself of the brand-new videos just now ready. So hang on, and we'll continue in just a couple minutes with Credo Mutwa, live from South Africa, and David Icke. And welcome back. I'm Jeff Renser with you 6 nights a week, 3 hours a night, coast to coast. And on the Internet worldwide, hello to everyone overseas and around this wonderful planet of ours. There is still opportunity here. Let's not get too negative. Credo, the idea of reptilians, some people look at it metaphorically. They see it as a symbol of an evil in men's hearts and minds, a controlling class of humanity. Others, as yourself, say that the reptilians are quite real, three-dimensional, flesh and blood. Do they occupy the same real-time space on this planet as we do? Do they live here with us, or are they from another dimension? How does it work in your heritage, in your history?
You mean amongst the African peoples?
Yes.
Say, the Chitahuri, the whisperers of the dark law, mm-hmm. Our elder brothers are here with us. And please, let nobody think I am crazy when I say this. I'm asking all thinking people to investigate. Do you know, sir, where you will find these beings? As real as you are, you will find them on the edges of desert, in the Sahel region of Africa. Ask the tribes people there, and even now in this electronic age, they will tell you about half men, men who are only half. We have got only one arm and one leg, and the other part of their body is invisible. People in South Africa, on the edge of the Kalahari Desert, mm-hmm. will tell you exactly the same thing. And at one time, I was exploring with a great explorer in South Africa, Mr. Adrian Boshier. When we saw, there were three of us walking through the bush, a tribesman, myself, and Mr. Boshier. Mm-hmm. And we came across that a strange footprint in the loose sand.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a footprint of a bird. A large bed, but with four toes.
Mm-hmm.
And this tribesman screamed and ran away. And Mr. Boshier shouted at him to come back. And because he was guiding us to a hole which we were going to investigate, a cave. And this tribesman said, I'm not coming back. This is a demon which has walked here.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Boshier, who was a disbeliever, said, come on, Ahman, this is a bird that walked here. But the tribesman said, no bird, this is demon. And I agreed with him. The footprint was not that of a bird, any bird that I knew. It was too large to be that of a bird. It was not an ostrich, but a four-footed reptile-like creature.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Boshier afterwards said we mustn't even talk about what we had seen. Said, the Chitauli are real. And I have reason to believe that they are destroying Africa and my people as part of a strange strategy of their own. And they can change from they can appear as real human beings. They change shapes.
And now, they can take on the form of a human being. Is it actually a physical form of a human being, or are they somehow telepathically able to project into the people seeing them that they look human?
I don't know, sir. But I can tell you there is something that has been happening for many, many generations in the province of Natal in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. There is a
church where a strange light is often seen. And if you are a Christian, this light becomes like the Virgin Mary, complete with features. And if you are a Hindu, you see her as a Hindu goddess. And if you are a member of our traditional religions like myself,
mm-hmm.
you see her as the great Earth Mother.
Mm-hmm.
So this creature, whatever it is, which has been seen by hundreds of people,
mm-hmm.
shapes itself according to what you believe in.
Mm-hmm. Understand.
This phenomenon is very, very common. And here is another thing.
Uh-huh.
Please, people who have been kidnapped by the Mandindan, the grey aliens,
okay, you
should have
yes, go ahead.
Should have their ancestry checked, because the grey aliens who work for the Chitauli do not just kidnap anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They kidnap special people, and in the blood of those people, they look for something. I don't know what it is. For example, I am an abductee myself. I have got injuries on my thighs which no weapon has ever made. I have got a hole in my left thigh which you can put your finger right up to the your thumb right up to the middle. And many people like that who were taken by the Mandindan, when I check into their ancestry, I find that they were descended from chiefs or from from noblemen and high officials of a tribe in ancient times. I am sure that all people throughout the world who are kidnapped have a trace of the reptile blood in them. And the Mandindane are looking for this substance to keep their masters alive, because we are told that there are very few of the Chitauli and that they have got problems reproducing, which is why they impregnate earth women. And also, they have sicknesses where their skin comes off at a certain stage, and they need the special blood of special human beings in order to survive. Hence the many kidnappings.
I understand. Okay, we'll pursue this further in just a couple of minutes. David, so we have, again, confirmation of abduction from an African shaman of great stature, one of the only two surviving Senussis left. He is the official historian of the Zulu Nation. The abduction phenomenon does not seem to be something particular to the Western world, once again.
Yeah, I mean, Africa has been forgotten so much in the UFO research community. Again, if it doesn't happen in Europe or North America, then it's not happening. And yet the stories and the information that's in Africa waiting to be discovered is just staggering. For instance, you know, we're still arguing about whether aliens were captured at Roswell. Well,
right.
African tribespeople have been finding them, and one of the most amazing things that Credo talks about.
Yeah, hold on
the
right there.
Graves are not the graves.
Right, hold on. We'll come back and pursue that. It's a remarkable program. Amazing information for you to consider, and we'll be back. All right, let's go back to Credo here. Credo, we've done many, many programs about the abduction issue with the little grays. It's also been commonly discussed that people who are abducted, when they can talk to their mothers or fathers, will usually find that their mothers or fathers, and in some cases their grandparents, will have also abduction experiences and memories, if they'll talk about them. So it seems to be something that is followed throughout generation after generation, as you have suggested, is going on in your country as well. What are, Credo, what are the Greys, and who do they work for?
Sir, the Mandindane, the tormentors, the torturers, as they are called amongst my people, are the servants of the Chitauli, the beasts of the Silosengubo, the beasts of the terrible blanket. They are all one and the same race. The Mandindane have no genitals. In other words, they are drones for the Chitauli, who are capable of reproducing. The Mandindane find medicine, so our great teachers tell us, for the Chitauli to keep them alive. For example, sir, the kidnapping of people goes back hundreds of years amongst my people. Zulu warriors, when they went to battle, used to wear a very strange object on the tips of the organs of manhood, sir, a grass cup. This grass cup, they was not worn for modesty or for protecting the genital. It was worn because when warriors were an army moving through the bush to attack a faraway tribe, they were followed, and some of them were kidnapped and drained of semen by the Mandindane. Now, this grass cup used to endanger the Zulu warrior's life, because sometimes when the battle really got hot, the grass cup got between the warrior, came off the tip of the warrior's penis, and it got between his thighs, causing him to fall down and get killed. But they had to wear this thing, which are some, many of which are still being made by craftsmen today, in order to protect themselves from the Mandindan. My mother was kidnapped in 1918, some years before I was born. Hmm. And then she was kidnapped again with me as a baby. And she could not account for the several hours of time she had lost. And her father beat her up thinking that she was a liar.
He beat her up thinking she was a liar. Hmm.
Say, my grandfather beat her up thinking that she had gone to meet her boyfriend, but she had disappeared with me on her back, according to some old women who later told me the story.
Mm-hmm.
And she reappeared a few hours later, not knowing where she had been. Now, this phenomenon, sir, is very, very common in Africa and South Africa. And nobody has ever bothered to really research it. And one thing, sir, is this. We human beings must accept that we are not alone in this world. The proof that there were other great civilizations before us is overwhelming. Here in South Africa, for example, a huge rock was cut up by machines, a rock many millions of years old. The scientists wanted to use that stone to line the insides of the jet pipes of guided missiles. And inside this stone, which is called pyrophyllin, were found incredible spheres made of metal about the size of a golf ball.
I've seen pictures of them, Credo. They're round, perfectly round spheres, and they have grooves cut along the equator, two, three, four grooves, perfectly around these metal spheres.
Yes, and what happens if you put one of those metal spheres on a table, say, and watch it for several hours?
Mm-hmm.
It rotates in sympathy with the Earth.
Mm.
You can see it actually rotating without a power source, without a source of energy. This must have been technology many, many millions of years ahead of our time.
I was told that those were found in rock that was in excess of 1 billion years old.
Yes, sir. These things are made by intelligent entities.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who doubts that we are the, who says that we are the first civilization on this planet, sir, mm-hmm. is mad. And the sooner we look into this phenomenon, like thinking people, the better for our own survival. Say, let me tell you one thing, and share this with your listeners, please, and also with Mr. David Icke. Is he there?
Yeah. I'm here, Carter, yeah.
Say, will you please tell the honorable presenter, say, what did I show you which was found? Do you remember the X-ray I showed you?
Right, yeah.
Of Cecilia's womb.
Mm-hmm.
Of the strange artifact which was found inside her womb. This artifact killed Cecilia. I should really not be talking so in public, but I'm dedicating this talk to my departed wife. Cecilia was not killed by the cancer that she was suffering from. She died very suddenly. Her blood pressure dropped exactly 3 weeks after I received a death threat threatening her. Say, the Chitawuli or the conspirators, or call them what you will, are active now, and they are interfering even with our private lives. I can tell you things that will shake you, but for which there are witnesses, how I myself am being destabilized even now.
David Icke?
By men, sir?
I was going to ask David to comment. Go ahead, Credo, finish.
Sir, today in South Africa there are so-called security firms.
Mm-hmm.
Which somehow are connected to bigger security firms in England and elsewhere. these same supply bodyguards for important people. And some of these bodyguards were given, I was given over to them that they should look after my affairs, to look after my money and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But they started interfering with my personal life. They started chasing away wise men and women whom I had gathered around me for many years in order to make a group of wise people which would help our people in South Africa. And also everything that I try to do, everything that I try to create is subtly destroyed by these men. Mercenaries interfering with human lives in South Africa, even as we are talking, say, I have a plan to save the rhinos from extinction by offering the Chinese who buy rhino horn as an aphrodisiac dehydrated ostrich eggs, which is a true aphrodisiac. But my plan has been frustrated by some of these men.
Hmm.
And, you know, sir, if people doubt that there is a conspiracy, let them tell me, why is Africa being murdered and by whom? If there are no Chitauli, why are there senseless wars ravaging my country? If there are no reptilians, why are we seeing men and women on this planet who seem to be virtually immortal? Should I mention a name?
Go ahead, just for fun.
Say, there are men on this earth who appear to be deathless.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Henry Kissinger is one.
I was going to say, there's certainly some men who seem to be very healthy in their latter years, and Henry Kissinger is certainly one of them, no doubt. David, we
Mr.
have...
Mr. George Bush is another.
Yeah, he looks great. They both do. They're getting some kind of special treatment, or
you know, sir, we human beings must think very deeply now. We claim to be masters of our own destiny. We are not. We claim to be in charge of our path in life. We are not. And there is no prisoner more pathetic, say, no slave more pitiable than a prisoner or a slave who thinks that he or she is a free person. We are not. And it's high time all of us were aware of this fact. There are those who walk amongst us as human beings, but who are more than human beings. There are such things as gods, and they walk amongst us. They control our destiny. They control us through newspapers. They control us through money. And they control us through religion and spiritual confusion and drugs.
Indeed. All right, we'll pause right there with Credo Mutua. Come back and get in touch with David Icke, who is standing by, been with us for the whole program as well. Extraordinary information for you to consider, and do with it what you will, but we put it out there for you six nights a week, 3 hours a night, coast to coast, and around the world live on the net. And don't forget, all of our programs are available to you anytime at all via the archives on the homepage at sightings.com, courtesy of broadcast.com, and we'll be back. All right, hour number three, and David Icke is with us, Credo Mutua, live from South Africa. One or two more questions, and we're going to let Credo get some rest. He is, if you joined us late, the 78-year-old official historian of his Zulu nation, an extraordinary man who has accumulated just vast knowledge through a lifetime of experience and research of African history. Control of the planet over thousands of years by the reptilians, and when he met David Icke, as you can imagine, they had a lot to talk about. Credo, one or two final questions. What do the grays look like? Have you seen a gray yourself? You mentioned you were an abductee.
Say, I swear to you by your sacred parents that I, Credo Mutwa, have seen these creatures close up. I didn't know what they were. That was in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got injuries to prove it, which are still there even now. When I have a bleeding through the nose, I bleed through only one nostril, my right nostril,
mm-hmm.
into which one of these little monsters put its instrument of some kind, very painful, into that nostril.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, the gray Mandindan, as we call them, the tormentors of people, they don't look like they look like. Their eyes, which are like little goggles, black goggles, are actually that, see. They are covers over their real eyes. They have got, a Mandindan has got a very large head with very thin limbs. And the first thing that you notice when you see one
mm-hmm.
is its eyes. It is, the Mandindan is about 3 feet high. It's rather thin with long legs and long arms. And it smells very, very oddly, a kind of chemically smell which can give you a headache. And what you think is the color of the Mandindan is really a very tight-fitting costume which hides the real creature under it.
I see.
Why do I say so, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Because Mandindan have been killed in South Africa over generations. And when they are killed, let's say if one of their craft falls down,
mm-hmm.
and by some means they fall out and they lie there in the rubbish and they are dead,
mm-hmm.
either their friends recover the dead ones quickly or they leave it there, and African sangomas find the dead Mandindan and they cut it, they chop it to pieces. But if you want to chop this creature to pieces, you need a very sharp axe of the type such as lumberjacks use in order to split the gray skin of the Mandindan to get at the creature underneath.
So the little suit they are wearing is very strong.
Yes, it needs a very, very sharp axe. An mm-hmm. ordinary axe will not cut through.
Mm.
And you will see that the eyes are really goggles which hide the real eyes of the Mandindan. And the real eyes of the Mandindan are exactly like those of a Chitauli. They are squarish slightly with split pupils like those of a cat. And the creature itself is, it looks like an animal which has been skinned inside the tight-fitting costume that it wears. And what happens is that when a dead Mandindan is found and chopped up by African shamans, they eat this creature. And it's an incredible and terrible experience. They eat pieces of this creature, and they develop, as I did, a terrible rush all over their bodies.
You ate they some of this?
Yes, sir. In fact, this is what I thought caused the trouble of my being kidnapped in 1959, because in 58, in Lesotho, the little kingdom inside South Africa,
yes.
we had eaten pieces of this creature as a sacred ritual of eating a god,
mm-hmm.
because our people believe that these creatures are gods, and a god must not be buried in the earth, but must be ritually eaten by the people who have found its corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you eat a mandindane, it tastes like copper. It tastes like if you take a copper coin and suck it like a sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It has got a strong coppery taste, and then it makes your tongue to swell. It makes a terrible rash lasting 3 to 4 days to erupt all over your body. And you go crazy. You start laughing like a fool. You can't breathe properly, and you can't eat properly. And if you survive that terrible eating of the god, you get crazy. Say, it's as if it's an unearthly experience of such great ecstasy. Although your body is burning like fire, although your heart is beating irregularly, you feel this terrible ecstasy. This is why high shamans in my country eat the flesh of a mandindane, in order to have this experience.
Mm.
So people who say that these creatures are imaginary, why are we able to eat them? And why have they been eaten in Africa for so long?
Yes.
And why do they smell? And you know, sir, a woman or a man who was kidnapped by mandindane carries a smell on him or her which lasts for many weeks, a definite recognizable smell. I carried such a smell after I had been through their hands, and when I came into various villages, every dog went hysterical and wanted to tear me to pieces. And my teachers had to use a large bar of blue soap in order, as well as sheep dip, in order to try and kill the smell which was driving the animals crazy.
Oh, they sheep dipped you. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Extraordinary. Go ahead.
And another interesting thing, sir, is this. In Africa, the mandindane sometimes mutilate animals.
Mm-hmm.
They not only mutilate domestic animals, such as cattle and sheep and even poor cats and dogs, but they also mutilate wild animals. Many times, working with game rangers, I have seen wild animals which have been mutilated by these creatures. And you know what happens? The Africa has got scavenger animals and scavenger birds.
Sure, sure.
If an animal has been mutilated by mandindane, the scavengers such as vultures and hyenas will not touch it.
Same situation here. It is the same situation over here in the United States with the animals who are mutilated. The coyotes won't come near it, and the birds,
exactly,
scavengers, the same thing.
And a person, a human being, who has been mutilated by mandindane, always has a small hole in his or her body through which every organ, heart, lungs, intestines, everything appears to have been sucked out. And that person will remain unrotting in the coffin afterwards for many, many months. Hmm. I've seen this many times.
Fascinating. So we have parallels in animal mutilation to explore, much to talk about. Credo, we're going to let you go now, and what I'd like to do is, on behalf of all our people listening, thank you for getting up so early. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, your experiences, and I would like to speak to you again at some point and do some more talk about your heritage and history, if you will.
Yes, sir. I am thankful, sir, and I'm honored. All I'm asking is that people of America, please investigate these things. Don't laugh at them. Don't be overly skeptical.
Indeed. Thank you, Credo Mudwa, very much. Okay, we'll pause and come right back with David Icke. Most extraordinary program, to be sure. Okay, we're back, and David Icke will be with us the remainder of the program. Videos and David's blockbuster underground bestseller, The Biggest Secret, are available at 1-800-444-2524. So write that number down, 1-800-444-2524. Or you can visit David's website at davidicke.com, and that's spelled I-C-K-E, I-C-K-E, davidicke.com. David, quite a man. It must have just blown more than one or two of your circuits to run into someone like that who had all that knowledge, which really dovetails with the extraordinary amount of your research.
It is extraordinary, and what he was talking about there was taking us on from so many points that we've been at in terms of, for instance, the Greys are the Greys. Well, mm-hmm. As he's explained on the videos and also tonight, there's a creature inside that apparent exterior which looks very different. They know them as Pinky Pinky in Africa because they're like a pinky scaled creature inside mm-hmm. with the reptilian eyes. And so many efforts. I mean, he indicated it a bit at one point there when he was talking about security firms around him and stuff like this. The efforts in Africa to shut him up are just extraordinary. Once I started talking to him, he was visited by two people who left him a note, and I saw the note, and it said, "If you don't shut up revealing this stuff, then mm-hmm. your wife's going to die." And his wife did die very suddenly. She had cancer, but it was not meant to. In the normal course of events, to have been that quick. Mm-hmm. And he showed me, he mentioned it just earlier, he showed me the x-ray of his wife, and mm-hmm. There is an extraordinary metallic object in the womb where she had the cancer. And he's been offered money in the last fortnight, and a home, a house in anywhere he wants to name in South Africa. But the deal was he had to never talk to me again and refuse to see me again. So this guy knows things that so many efforts have taken place in Africa in the last few years to stop him revealing.
Well, the general obliteration of African history obviously has in mind covering up all sorts of interesting things.
Yeah, I mean, what makes Credo so controversial and so dangerous to the Illuminati in Africa is that it's not I'm black and all whites are bad stance that he comes from. He points out that the black African bloodlines of the royal bloodlines go back to the same source, claim descendants from these same reptilian gods. And just as in the rest of the world, where the aristocratic families and the royal families, those bloodlines in the more modern world have gone into the banking streams, into the political streams, and manifested in other ways, so the same as applied to these so-called royal lines of Africa. He gives the example of Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe, who is a royal line, and he points out that again and again, and you'll find this phenomenon all over the world, if there's a rebellion against injustice in Africa, first of all, you'll have something coming from the people and someone orchestrating that rebellion from the people. And then as it reaches fruition and a change of power is close to taking place, then suddenly that original instigator will be removed in some way, and in will come someone who takes over and becomes the president or the leader when power changes places. And he says every single time when you do the genealogy and the history of these people that come in and take over, they go back to the royal lines of the black African people who claim descendants from these gods. And this is starts to explain, again, he talks about bloodline and their obsession with blood and why they need blood. We start to get a bigger picture here of exactly what's going on. And it seems to me that the ruling power in the world that's expanded itself from the ancient world to its global point today are actually the same bloodlines, and those bloodlines are reptilian, and actually we're being controlled by a force that has been unseen mm-hmm. Over thousands of years, and it's now at last being identified.
The hardest part for most people to accept is the concept that someone like George Bush or Henry Kissinger or the royal family, in fact, are actually lizards and can metamorphose or shapeshift into that lizard format on demand, so to speak. But I don't know if that's the point. I think the point is there's an evil on the planet and it has a genesis somewhere.
Yeah, I understand how people find that hard to believe. I mean, from the perspective of life that we live from cradle to grave, it's absolutely ridiculous from that perspective. But this phenomena is being seen by increasing numbers of people. And when you go back and you read the ancient accounts of, like, the Nagas gods in the Indus Valley culture, they were said to be able to take either human or reptilian form and be able to move between the two. Then you talk to Credo and the African experience, and they tell the same story of the shape-shifting. And you asked an interesting question earlier, and I'm kind of asking the same thing myself. Are they actually manifesting physically in a human form, or are they somehow kidding our minds that they look like that? I can't answer that question yet, but what I'm absolutely convinced of is that this phenomena of reptilian beings operating on another vibration, if you like, another dimension, another vibrational field, are operating through particular bloodlines. And it seems to me that these bloodlines, these crossbreeds that go back to these reptilian gods, actually have a genetic, therefore vibrational compatibility with these beings on this, what I call lower fourth dimensional level, what some people call the lower astral, the place of the demons in folklore. And somehow they can wear these particular bloodline bodies like an overcoat, which means very simply, if you can manipulate the bloodline, the physical expression of this, into a position of power, what you're actually doing is putting these non-three-dimensional beings into those positions of power. But because they look human and because they have different names, we think they're not connected and we think they're human.
Yep. All right, hold on, David, right there. We'll pause and come right back after this. All right, you're back with David Icke. Let me give you the 800 number once again to order David's videos, just out with Credo, and they are supposed to be stunning, as you can get an idea tonight. 1-800-444-2524, 1-800-444-2524 for the videos, the information, and his book, The Biggest Secret, which is continuing to sell like crazy all over the world, actually. We'll try and get a couple of calls in this half hour. David, in all of your journey, and I've been, boy, I tell you, watching and listening, we've been friends for a number of years now, you see things, I'm watching your evolution, as it were. I remember how it was when we first talked, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and how it is now. Do you see any end to this? Are you getting closer to getting a handle on it all, or is it just getting to be more and more fantastic as you work down the road?
Well, It's getting more and more explainable, funny enough. My journey has been very much like putting a jigsaw puzzle together, and the key point came to me a few years ago when I could see how it was possible for a few to control the world and the structure through which it was done, a very simple structure, very simple methods. And that at that point, in effect, in my mind, I'd got all the straight bits on the jigsaw puzzle. The frame was complete.
Mm-hmm.
And the more, you know, when you're doing a jigsaw puzzle, the more pieces you find and you find a place for, the more the picture emerges, and the quicker, therefore, you can put the later pieces in. And this whole connection to this reptilian story, this reptilian theme, especially when you go back and you realize about the crossbreeding and stuff, everything starts to make sense that didn't make sense before. For instance, why is it that these ruling royal families, whether it was the aristocracy of Europe or the royal families of Europe or the Eastern establishment families of the United States to this day, why are they always interbred obsessively? People have thought, because it's snobbery. Well, it's actually more than that. They're trying to hold genetic structure. Why is it, another question I was asking, Why is it that wherever you follow these bloodlines, Jeff, from the ancient world to now, you follow the banking scam of lending money that doesn't exist and charging interest on it, which is very, very relevant, but you also find them taking part in blood-drinking rituals and human sacrifice. And the more you kind of understand about this as I research it and understand more, is the more you realize that these sacrifices to the gods, like the Aztecs and so many others were involved in the ancient world, were literally sacrificing to these people. Because for some reason, blood is very important to them, these particular bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start to understand why the endless stories that are emerging now about the ruling elite and the major figures of the world and how they're involved in blood drinking rituals and human sacrifice, the same as the ancients were when you follow the bloodlines back. And it all kind of fits between the reptilian theme and what's actually happening.
We know about the hybrid issue. We know about abductions, abductees taken and then put back. Do you have any evidence to sustain the concept that there are people being abducted who aren't being brought back, who are being consumed or sent elsewhere, and that's the end of them?
Well, only evidence in the sense that people say it's going on. Obviously, evidence in terms of hard evidence of seeing it, well, I mean, you know, we're not going to get there yet.
But you are hearing this kind of thing.
Oh, very much. Okay. And it all fits. I mean, you see, when you, again... Because the amount of time this has been going on in our history...
Well, it's been going on forever.
Yeah, exactly. But in our known history, as we call it, it's been going on a few thousand years. Now, in the passage of time, that is not even a blink of an eye. So what's happening now is what's been happening throughout what we call known human history and before. And therefore, when you go back and you see what happened in the accounts thousands of years ago, and then you can mirror it with what's happening now, even down to the rituals, the people that have been in these rituals and survived them and seen them, and of course most people don't, and therapists I've talked to around the world who are working with the human debris of these satanic and sacrifice networks and the broken minds and emotional levels that they're dealing with. They all tell me about the deities that these guys do these rituals to, and they're the same deities that you find in the ancient accounts. One of them is called Moloch or Molech, where they sacrifice children to this deity. Now, some of the most famous people in the world, you look in the Old Testament accounts and others, and you'll find that... it talks about how the people put their children through the fire to Moloch, or Molech, who is symbolized as an owl, which is why you have the owl symbolism in Bohemian Grove with the 40-foot stone owl, and it's why you have the owl symbolism in the Illuminati secret language. So what we're looking at today is merely the modern expression of something that's been going on throughout known human history. And to understand that, you start to realize there has to be a common force. I mean, many people have said to me, well, how could it go on over all these thousands of years? Because people die and all that stuff. Well, there is a common theme, a common force that has spanned this period of time, which has been working to a common agenda. And that common agenda is the takeover of planet Earth. And it's interesting that one of the things Credo suggests is a thing that's occurred to me, certainly. His feeling is that this reptilian group are seeking to change the atmosphere of the planet so it suits them and doesn't suit us. And I must say, I just tell you about the synchronicity of life. That when life's trying to tell you something, the first time I met Credomus was about 18 months ago, and we talked for about 5 hours about the global manipulation and its extraterrestrial connection. And then this time, just a few weeks ago, we really got into this reptilian stuff deeply and more. But after that first talking to him and how he was saying the Illuminati and extraterrestrials are actually connected, I went back to the house in Johannesburg where I was staying and just wrote down on the laptop what he'd said for reference. And then I went down and sat in the lounge, and everyone had left. But the telly would television was left on. And I had been in South Africa for the first time 3 days. I didn't know anything about South African television. What channel it was, I just sat there and I thought, there's some advertisements on. I thought, I'll wait to see what comes on. Bit of chewing gum for the mind for a night, you know. And what came on, literally 2 minutes later, was a film I'd never seen or heard of before, called The Arrival. It came out about 1991.
Oh, yeah.
And The Arrival was the story of a reptilian extraterrestrial race that took over the planet by looking human, by manifesting a human body around itself when it was out among, you know, human people. And that the agenda in this film was that they wanted to change the atmosphere of the planet so it suited them and not us, and that these reptilian beings hiding in human form are actually controlling NASA in this film and were changing the atmosphere of the planet. Now, because there's not many of these, and it's interesting that Credo says the same, there's not many at the peak of the pyramid of this manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
They have to manipulate humanity to imprison itself. They have to manipulate humanity to operate in ways that change the atmosphere of the planet.
That's right. Well, that goes back to your original story years ago about how we don't need police anymore. We police ourselves. We're that well trained. Be right back. Okay, back with David Icke. Our remaining segment tonight, 1-800-444-2524 for the brand new set of videotapes. And David's blockbuster underground bestseller, The Biggest Secret, which is just selling all over the world. A couple of phone calls. We'll try and get to 3-4 as we can. 1-800-876-4123. Let's go to Portland, Oregon first. Listening on Hot Talk, KOTK. It's Travis. Hello, Travis.
Hi, how you doing tonight, John?
Fine, thank you.
All right. I just had a couple of quick questions. Number one is, are the reptilians, are they pretty much confined to Africa? And then my second question would be, if not, then would the person know that they are a reptilian?
The person meaning?
Meaning that I know somebody who has some kind of the described features.
Could someone be a reptilian and not be fully aware of it or aware of it at all? Is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Okay, all right. David, they're not confined to Africa. We know that.
Certainly not. All over the world. And I think that, you know, what Credo said earlier about the fact that this reptilian race actually originated in the Earth, or at least what we're here a long, long time ago, is extremely relevant because we forget that there is a significant part of the human brain which is called the R-complex, the reptilian part of the brain. And interestingly, and this is conventional science that I've been reading, various papers and accounts of this, that from the reptilian part of the brain we get certain characteristics like what they call cold-blooded behavior, being able to do something to someone and be completely emotionally detached from the consequences for them of what you've done. An obsession with ritual territorialism. This is mine. I own it. Mm-hmm.
Would explain sociopathic personalities, too, to a degree, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and also we get from that aspect, apparently, of our brain, which is an ancient part of the brain from our reptilian past, the top-down power structure vision of society, ruling from the top on the pyramid-type top-down power structure. Now, what I've just described, whether we're talking reptilians or not, I've just described the mentality of this Illuminati network that manipulates the planet. And it seems to me that there is reptilian background to all of us. It just seems that there are certain bloodlines where this is very, very much more pronounced.
Right.
And from what I understand from a number of people I've talked to around the world who have been in there, if you like, and seen some of this stuff, they don't even, at the highest level, they don't even breed sexually anymore. It's all done artificially with the sperm of a guy who is considered the pure top of the range, if you like, from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that sperm will be passed around and impregnated into large numbers of women because it's the genetics that they're looking for. And this is why these ruling families invariably marry for genetics and not through emotion. And we find this again and again all over the world. It's because they're trying to hold this genetic structure. So I think there are reptilian bloodlines all over the world, absolutely. Overwhelmingly in the white race, but certainly not exclusively so.
Could somebody have reptilian heritage and not know it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think we've all got reptilian heritage at some level. My goodness me, because of, you know, you look at the far history of this world, and it was dominated by the reptilian genetic stream. And the interesting thing that is the extraordinary detail that this Illuminati go to find out who has it and who doesn't from their perspective. They do tremendous genealogical research, it seems, into bloodlines, so they know who's got it and who hasn't. And one of the things that is emerging, the more that I research this, is that they look for certain bloodlines which have this critical mass, shall I put it, genetic content they're looking for, and they will pull them in to the secret society network, etc. And the person at first might be completely oblivious. They might think they're being selected because they're considered, you know, good at their job and all this stuff. And then they put them through these various rituals at the highest level of this network. And these rituals create an energy field, which is like a stepping stone energy field, which allows this lower fourth dimensional consciousness, reptilian consciousness, whatever you like to call it, to plug in to the person, to lock in, and if in effect possess that person and become his thought processes, become his emotional processes. And I've talked to a number of people in various parts of the world who told me the same story about how people they know who have been pulled into this network have actually had a tremendous personality change as the years have unfolded, to the point where they were unrecognizable. And we hear this about, oh, power's changed him, you know. Well, is it always power that changes them, or is it something else that happens as a result of them going up this ladder of power?
All right, let's head down to Jacksonville and say hello to Howard, listening on WJGR. Hello, Howard. Go ahead, Howard, if you're there. Howard, I don't hear you. Okay, Howard, we'll have to get you to call back in if you can and try again. David, I got another email here. How is David Icke still alive? If he's blowing the whistle on these guys, certainly they'd find a very expeditious way to silence David.
Well, I think we've got to be careful that we don't fall into the trap that you get credibility in this business of research if you're dead, and that we wear attacks on our lives like war wounds or medals. You know, I've had 6 attacks on my life. I must be talking the truth. It's easy to fall into that. I think the best thing to do is to understand that we create our own reality, and to create a reality in which we're not taken out. And that may seem trite, but I think one of the things that I've found traveling around the world, Jeff, you know, talking to whistleblowers, one of the common themes, and it is so strong, this theme, those who have put this information out in fear of the consequences have invariably got the consequences. And what we put out, we get back. And if we put out fear, what's going to happen to me if I do this, we are very likely to draw to us by this process what we fear will happen. And what I'm concentrating on doing is getting fear completely outside of my being. So I just do what I believe is right, and I don't think of the consequences, because once you think of the consequences, you start to draw the consequences towards you.
That's right.
So when I was in Canada, for instance, I went through that little game and all that stuff and talked, and I knew it was going to be fine. They give me hassle, but I talked, and there's no way they were going to stop me. And it's amazing what the power an individual mind has if it takes its power back and starts to create its own reality rather than be drawn into fear and depression. Oh, they're going to stop me. I'll tell you now, Jeff, no one's going to stop me doing what I've come to do. And they're just not going to do it. And I think that from a spiritual point of view, and indeed from a bigger picture point of view, people keep saying to me, well, where are the good guys then? Well, first of all, I don't think it's a good guy, bad guy thing. I think, you know, we're all part of the same consciousness. But on one level, people say, where are the forces that are trying to help humanity? Well, it's a vibrational thing for me. If you are of a state of being that wants to help humanity get out of this prison and set ourselves free, then you're going to be vibrating to a high frequency, because that the frequency represents where you're at in your mental and emotional state. If people incarnate in physical form are not resonating to that frequency, if they're still in fear, which is many scientific programs have shown is a very low, slow wavelength. When we're feeling fear, we're vibrating very slowly. Well, if we're in fear and that level of consciousness that's trying to help us is actually resonating very fast, mm-hmm. then there's no way that that connection can take place. Because it's like one radio station trying to tune into another radio station that's on a different frequency. Absolutely impossible. It's up to us, I would suggest, to raise our state so that we become, in frequency terms, connected to these higher levels of consciousness that are trying to help us. And this is actually the foundation of the manipulation, in my opinion. This whole network, Illuminati, reptilian, call it what you like, has been working for thousands of years from a high level of knowledge of how this works to keep humanity in ignorance and in fear. Because if we're in fear, we're resonating very slowly. We're never going to connect with the full magnitude of consciousness, the full magnitude of who we are, and these other levels of consciousness that are trying to help us and guide us out of this.
And what awesome tools they have now. Television, the media, it's
exactly.
Amazing.
Basically, we're in a vibrational prison, but it's a vibrational prison called fear that we can break out of any time. And there's many, many people, because you know we talk about what's going on, and we should, because we need to understand it, because then we can do something about it. But in these 25, 26 countries I've been in the last 3 years, Jeff, there's something else happening. Apart from the agenda being introduced in everyone, there is an awakening going on in everyone. And when you start to open up and get out of this fear situation, mm-hmm. then you start to see life in a completely different way. You're starting to connect with these higher levels that we've been disconnected from all this time, because the human entity is an extraordinary manifestation of creation. We are incredible. We are genius waiting to happen. And what this network of manipulation has had to do, otherwise it couldn't have done anything, it has had to disconnect us from the 99.99% of who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
We operate in a fraction of our potential, and then we're manipulatable, then we're controllable. If we awaken to who we are, this is all over, because this manipulating group is actually not all-powerful. It's actually not very bright.
That's the big secret. And David, we have to go, but I want to get you back on the program while you're still here in the States within the next couple of weeks, so let's work on that.
Smash it.
All right, my friend.
Okay, Jeff.
Take care.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. David Icke, the inimitable, one-of-a-kind David Icke. Another mind-stretching program for you tonight. Information, possibilities, is it true? What if only 10% of it's true? Does that change the world? The decision is yours, and I'm glad you chose to spend your time with us tonight. And fascinating hearing from Credo in South Africa, the culture over there, the history of it. We'll carry on tomorrow night. See you in 21 hours. Take care.